this morning, specifically Acts chapter 3. Our main verses are 19 and 20. I want to talk briefly about this guy that has been on my heart, because it's so, I mean, it just really, really speaks to me. Over the last few weeks, I've been thinking about this guy. There was this crippled guy, and he'd been crippled for 38 years. 38 years is a long time to be crippled. Can I get a witness? And so he would sit on this mat with other crippled people, other people that were lame, and had all kinds of ailments going on. But one day Jesus Christ came to town, and Jesus walked right up to the guy, and he said this very, very interesting thing. He said, "Do you want to be made well?" And so, you know, I've pondered that. I thought about that. And, you know, over the years as I would read that, it's kind of interesting that Jesus would say to him, "Hey, do you want to be made well?" I mean, if we were to put ourselves in the blind man's sandals, I mean, the crippled man's sandals, 38 years, man, of course he wants to be made well. Of course he wants to get up and walk. But what I believe Jesus Christ was really saying to this individual, are you ready for change? Are you tired of living this way? Are you tired of living this way, crippled man? Because we can try so long, for so many years, with our own power, with our own ability, with what we have at our disposal, and try and get better, try and get clean, try and get straight, whatever you want to call it. And there's a lot of things we just can't do on our own. This crippled man had no power on his own to get better. But here comes Jesus walking right towards him, and he says, "Crippled man." He said, "Okay, if I call you crippled man?" He says, "Do you want to be made well?" And that's the question, not just for him, but it's for all of us, you know? You know, we all have things in our lives, struggles, you know, whatever it might be, whatever you might be battling with. And man, sometimes it's so hard because we've been fighting the same thing for so many years that we can just get to the place where we're like, well, this is just how I am. This is just what my life is going to look like. This is what I've been given to deal with. But God asks us the same question he asked that fella, you know. Do you want to be made well? Because we can be made well. And it's not in us. It's in him. Can I get a witness? And it's like the prodigal son who went and squandered his father's inheritance, man. You know, he went up to his old man and said, basically, he says to his dad, like, you're just living longer than I need you to live. Yeah, I want my inheritance now. I want it now, man. Give me my cut. And the father did. Sometimes, you know, sometimes God will let us have what we want. You know, we won't shut up. Keep saying, oh, this is, I got to have this. My life won't be complete till I have this. And God's word says, no, you don't want to do that. But we get so pig-headed, and sometimes God will say, okay, if this is what you want, then you're going to have to learn the lesson this way. So he goes out, has a grand old time with hookers and everybody, and wastes all his money and had all these guys to hang out with. But then he ain't got nothing. He's nothing, and he's sitting in the pig slop in the mud. Sometimes our life can kind of be like that, you know? Sitting in the pig slop in the mud, and he wants to eat the food that the pigs are eating, man. You know, I've never tried to do it, but can you imagine how difficult that might would be to grab something from a pig? I don't know, but the old boy was starving. But he came to his senses. Scripture says he came to his senses, and he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back to my father. Even if he only makes me a servant, I mean, that's better than what I got going on here. The servants in my father's house, they have more than enough to eat. I got a good dad. He came to his senses and he went home, and the father wouldn't hear of it. You're like, no, you're not a servant. You're my son. Put the ring on, the sandals on, the robe on, threw a big old party. He had a good father. We have a good father. And sometimes we just get stuck, you know. It's like we get stuck. Our wheels are just spinning. We're not getting anywhere. We're getting older, but we're still in the same mess we've been in for so long. But God asked us, do you want to be made well? Acts 3 in verse 19. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. That's our text for today. Father God, thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in this service, and that we will change, Lord. If there's something that's holding us back, something that is hindering us, something that is hurting us, Lord, we will lay it at the Master's feet, and we will leave here truly refreshed and ready to be about your business. Your will be done. Strengthen your messenger and open our ears. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do my best with this. Feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John, fresh with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go up to the temple one day to worship and to pray. And here's this crippled guy, a different crippled guy. The crippled guy, the other guy we just talked about, he was crippled for 38 years. This guy, we don't know how old he was, but he was crippled from birth. And so every day he would sit at this gate going up into the temple grounds, and he would beg for money. That's all you could do back then. If you couldn't work for yourself, best you could do is grab a cup and ask somebody to help you. And so he would beg every day. And here comes Peter and John, and he asked Peter and John, and Peter says, look, silver and gold I ain't got none of that, but what I do have, let me give it to you. And he says, rise and be healed. I'm paraphrasing. The guy gets up. And so as Peter and John go into the temple to worship, this crippled guy, he ain't crippled no more. He's running, jumping, skipping, praising God. And he's hanging out with Peter and John. And so a huge crowd is forming in Solomon's colonnade, this area on the temple grounds. And because everyone knew this guy. It's that crippled guy. Look at him, man. Like jumping, doing some. Look, woo, woo, dog, check it out. Huge crowd forms, man. So Peter, being freshly filled with the Holy Spirit, seizes on the opportunity and begins to preach to all these Jews. And he preaches this message of repentance to these guys, knowing that some of them in the crowd took part in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Whether they said, we don't want Jesus to walk free, we want Barabbas to go free, or whether they verbally said, crucify him. He knew that there were people out there that had the blood of Jesus Christ on their hands. And he began to preach to them about repentance and how what happens to us when we truly turn from our sins. And so that's what we're talking about today. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. So these Jews, man, they had the weight of the world on them. They had the weight of their own sins. They had the weight of the Roman occupiers who were vicious and cruel and tormenting. They had the law of Moses that they couldn't keep. They had their daily lives of poverty. And they had all this weight on their shoulders. And Peter says to them, repent and turn back to God so you can have time, so your sins can be blotted out and you can have a time of refreshing. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Don't you want to be refreshed? You're spinning your wheels for so long, man. You know, and it's just, God says you can be refreshed. You can be renewed. You can be healed today. That's a promise from the Most High God, you know. And so we look at our own lives, man. We have the weight of our sin. We have the crazy world that is our lives. We have the evil world that we live in. We have all this that comes against us and weighs us down. And the message is for us as well. Through the Holy Spirit, it says, you can have a time of refreshing. You can be refreshed. You can be energized for the next leg of this journey. And personal revival starts with saying, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Personal revival starts with saying, I have sinned against the Holy God. and repenting of our sins. Amen. Can I get a witness? And God wants us to be satisfied with our life. God wants us, and we can, you know, maybe when I said that, you scanned your mind real fast, like, I'm not satisfied at all, man. My life is this. My life has been that. This happened to me. I did this. This is what God says. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what Satan does. That's what Satan's minions do. And that's what Satan has tried to do to all of us in all of our lives, even as Christian people, people that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Satan is relentless. He won't give up. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy our lives. He doesn't want us to be about God's business. He doesn't want us to have the joy in our life. Amen. But see, here's the good part. I came, Jesus Christ, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God says, I want you to have the abundant life. I didn't just come to save your soul. And if that's all he did for us, we should sing his praises for all eternity, you know. But he says, I want you to have the abundant life now. Peter says that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. We have everything at our disposal to live that life that God wants us to live. We don't have to be miserable. Satan wants us to be miserable. Sometimes we've been miserable for so long, we just say, well, this is just, I'm just this person, man. This is just how it is for me. I wish I could be like you. I wish I could be like that guy. But this is what's going on in my world. And I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And Jesus kneels down before us today and says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well, man? Thank you, Jesus. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:34. 1 Corinthians 15:34. First thing we got to do is repent. If we want a time of refreshing, if we want to be rejuvenated, okay, first step, man, in Scripture, we got to repent. What does that mean? Repent is like this. I turn away from that which is unpleasing to God. I put that sin down, whatever it is. Well, that's impossible. What are you talking about? I've been crippled for 38 years, man. I'm not one of those people that can stop doing this. I can't get away from my own mind, man. You're wasting my time. Give me my $3.50 out of the offering plate back, man. No, it's not. We can't do it. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you want to be made well? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will give me. He wants us to be made well. He says, I come that you have that abundant life, man. And he's not just saying that. He has made a way for us. You know, I'm not saying it's easy, but we can do all things through Christ. Can I get a witness? 1 Corinthians 15:34. Repent. Drop that sin. Turn from it. Wake up. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. This was a crazy church. You can read up on that later. Wake up from your drunken stupor. You know, sometimes, well, all the time, anytime, we can be drunk on way more than a little bit of dope. We can be drunk on way more than a little bit of wine, a little bit of more White Claws, way more than a little bit of White Claws. Oh, White Claws, Purple Passions, whatever the kids are doing now. Anywho, we can be drunk on a lot of stuff, man. Fear, anxiety, depression, the weight of the world. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. Paul is talking to these church folks. He's saying, stop sinning. Stop it. You know? And the message goes out to me, Paul, stop sinning, man. Put that down. Stop thinking that way. You're a new creation in Christ. And it goes out to all of us. Do not go on sinning. Now, God would not tell the Apostle Paul to say this to a church if it was not possible. I'm not saying that we are going to not sin completely or completely stop sinning, but it's got to be more of God, less of me. And what it really boils down to, do I want to be made well? Do I want this? Because if I want this, he will give me the strength to put down what I don't need to be messing with. And do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Apostle Paul's being very stern with these people. And he says, for some have no knowledge of God. The Amplified Bible says this. You ignore his truths. You're ignoring what God is telling you because you want to keep on doing what you want to do. You say, man, that's the wrong message for me, Chief. I don't want to keep on doing this, but I don't know how to stop. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. James 4 and verse 8. James doesn't hold any punches back. James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Same mama, different daddy. Can I get a witness? James 4, verse 8. Check this out. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You see, Jesus, the Most High God, isn't into playing games. And you say, again, I ain't playing games, man. I'm miserable. Okay, well, it's like this. When you are serious, when you are serious about this life change, because that's really what Jesus was asking a crippled guy at the well. Do you want to be made well? Are you serious about this? Are you just satisfied with where you're at? Have you just given up and say, well, this is where I'm at, man. The view ain't horrible. You know what I mean? But James says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See the seriousness in that? God says, when you take a step towards me, man, I'm watching. And when you take a step towards me, I'm taking a step towards you because I want change in your life more than you can ever imagine. Because I want you to have the abundant life. I'm tired of Satan stealing and killing and destroying from my children. So when you get tired of it and you take that step, Jesus is heading toward you. Now look at this. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James is saying, stop sinning. Repent. Turn from it. Draw near to God. Amen. First step to getting near to God is repenting of your sins. I'm talking to Christian people. I'm talking to people that already belong to the Most High God that have said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe you are the Son of God, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. People that have said that and meant that. We still don't live in the place physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, where God wants us to be. We can be so miserable. I think the most miserable person in the world is, because I've been there, you know, is somebody that has accepted that wonderful, precious gift of salvation, but is still straddling the fence, you know, or just miserable because I got a foot in the world, a foot in the church, you know what I mean? Or I'm just not living the way God wants me to live mentally. Can I get a witness? I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to myself. Let's go to the next slide. Repent, therefore. Step number one, repent. Turn from that sin. Repent, therefore, and turn back. So there's some things we got to do. There's some things that we have to do if we want that time of refreshing in our life, if we want to be refreshed. Okay, number one, repent. And then it says, turn back. Okay, so it's like turning away from my sin, but then turning towards the Lord. You know, turning away from this mental thought pattern, turning away from this behavior, turning away from whatever's going on in my life that has stolen my joy for so long, turning away from that, and then turning to the Lord. Matter of fact, the King James says, repent therefore, and be converted. I like how that sounds. Be converted. I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen. And the NIV says, turn to God. So I turn away from my sin and I turn to God. And God says, I need you to see what you're doing, what you're thinking about, what you've been involved in. I need you to see it the way that I see it. I need you to understand that that sin is so repulsive to the Most High God. You know, because sometimes we don't see it that way. Sometimes we do see it that way. We're just bound by it. We are way past the years of messing around and playing with it. You know, we're just bound with it. We don't know what to do. Well, God says, this is what you do. Repent and turn back to me. I can't stop doing it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm talking about a day-by-day situation, man. I'm talking about a minute-by-minute situation, you know, where I will not do that. I will not do that. I will not do that. Well, you're more mentally powerful in your mind. You are stronger up here than I am, Paul. No, I'm not. I assure you I'm not. I know there's a bunch of Debbie cakes back there. I can't wait to get done. I'm going to fill my pockets. Man, best believe I was looking at them old boys last night. Like, ooh, Mother's Day treats. Lemon cake. All God's people said lemon cake. Yeah. Okay, we got to turn towards God. We got to see it the way He sees it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Do we have that? Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh, this is King James, and I hardly ever use the King James, but this is how I memorized it when I was young. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we got to let God change the way we think about things. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? We got to let God change the way we see what we're doing, what we're thinking about. So that's the good old-fashioned renewing of the mind. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, okay? Do not be conformed to this world. And I'm not saying we're trying to be conformed to this world. Maybe you're way past the years of trying to fit in. You don't care what anybody thinks about you. I don't have to fit into no group or category or whatever, right? You know, but sometimes it is hard to separate us from the world. We are just like them, even though we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We do the same things. We think the same way. And God says, my people aren't supposed to be like that. You know, that world needs you, and I want to use you to change that world, to make disciples out of those people. Okay, so I need you to give up some stuff. Like, well, I want to give up some stuff. I want to be refreshed. He says we got to turn from our sin. We got to see it the way God sees it. And to see it the way God sees it, we got to let Him scrub our mind. We got to let Him renew the way we think. Can I get a witness? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, this is not saying that there are three categories that you can fit into in God's will. I do not believe it's saying there's three categories that you can slip into and you're going to be cool if you can nestle up into one of these areas where, like, okay, I am in God's good will. I'm okay. I'm all right. He's okay. I'm in God's acceptable. I could do better, but I'm in His acceptable will. I'm over here. I'm good. Or this is, you know what? Sister Claudia is in His perfect will. You know what I mean? But I ain't no Sister Claudia. But I do. I'm good. I'm in the acceptable will of God. It's describing. Okay, it's describing what God's will looks like. Okay, so when I let God change the way I think, then I'm going to want to be in God's will for my life. And this is what God's will looks like. It is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. That's what God wants out of us, man. Can I get a witness up in this? I don't know. Renew my mind. What kind of mumbo jumbo is it? Renew my mind. Look, Psalm 1, verse 2. Because I want us to I want us to live in victory. I want us to be refreshed. I want each and every one of us to have revival, refreshing, renewal in our hearts and in our minds, man, and not be miserable or discouraged or depressed. Amen. Are bound by these things. And it's not just that I want it, because I certainly do, you know, but this is what God wants for us. And he says, okay, look, turn from it, see it the way I see it, and let your mind be renewed, and you're going to see it the way I see it, okay? Because sometimes we got to let God reorganize some things in our thoughts and in our mind. And so that's going to start Psalm 1 in verse 2. Check this out. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. God says, get into his word. Make it your delight. Is the word of God your delight? I read it sometimes. I thought you were supposed to read it for me. I read a little bit for you. But, you know, we're supposed to get into the word. And, you know, that's a sacrifice. I mean, it certainly is. You got to set some time aside. I ain't got no time. Yes, you do. You know you do. Oh, man, I can't let nothing cut into my TikToks time and my Facebook times and my Twitters. You just realize I got fans, man. I got 14 followers, man. This cat from Bangladesh needs to hear from me. Listen, you got time. All right, we got to get into the Word of God. Okay? You want to change the way you think? We got to spend time with the Lord, you know? Psalm 1 and verse 2. The more you spend time with somebody, the more you're going to get to know them. The more you spend time with God, the more you're going to get to know him and realize that he is wonderful and he is everything. You know what I mean? The more you spend time with him, the more we're really going to be convicted of our sin. You know, that's the truth of it. And sometimes that's why we don't want to get into the Word of God. You know, or sometimes we kind of pick and choose what we want to read. Can I get a witness? Okay, Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I can't stop doing this. Well, God still says, Jesus still says, do you want to be made well? And see, this is a good thing. This is a big thing right here. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. My last preacher said meditation's bad. Start the car. Let's get out of here, Martha. Okay, it's not like Eastern meditation or whatever. It's about pushing everything out and just thinking about what God says. Pushing out the negative thoughts about yourself. Pushing out everything else and thinking about what God says. And then we begin to see a picture of how God thinks about us and how I can honestly do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. Is everyone all right? So here's the really awesome, the really, really, really awesome result of repenting of my sins and letting God convert me is my sins get blotted out. Well, hold on now. I thought, didn't my sins get blotted out when I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior? Yeah, you don't have to go to hell now. Jesus Christ paid for that. Okay, so, well then what's the big deal? What's going on? Okay, well, a lot of times we're just completely miserable as Christians because we keep messing with things that we have no business messing with. Can I get a witness? Raise your hands if you're a nasty old stuff. No, but see, check it out. Look, when I sin as a Christian, you know what it does? It hurts my communion with the Lord. It hurts my fellowship with the Lord. It's like if I went into my mama's house. She was fast asleep. And I snuck into her garage and I took out her washer and dryer. And I got it on a dolly and I loaded it on the back of my truck. And I got all the good stuff out of her freezer and fridge and put it back in my truck. And I went and sold it for $50. My mama would still love me just as much as she did the day before. But she'd be like, what's wrong with you? What'd you do that for? It would hurt our relationship, man. We'd have to have a healing in our relationship. That would hurt our fellowship. You know, Well, the next day's Thanksgiving, and I'm sitting across the table from her, like, sure would be nice if I could wash the dishes, but you know what? Your little brother went and sold my washer and dryer and my dishwasher, and it hurt our relationship. Still gonna love me just as much. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Isn't that sad? So God says, man, repent. See this stuff the way that I see it. And we're going to take all this baggage and we're going to throw it away like it never happened. Throw it as far as the east is from the west. Now look at David. King David knew a little bit about regret. He knew a little bit about sin. This is the mighty, wonderful, amazing psalmist of Israel. This wonderful king, the giant slayer, this great guy. He had a little problem with the ladies, right? So he committed adultery with this married woman named Bathsheba, right? Saw her taking a bath. Hey, baby. You know, but anyways, it didn't stop there. He had to go and kill her husband because old David got her pregnant. He didn't have to, but one sin always leads to another sin, leads to another sin, until you are just so bound and so messed up, you don't see no way out. And you do the things that the world offers you, and it just makes things worse. It's like, oh man, Bathsheba got her pregnant. Her old man's off fighting war. This ain't looking good. He did everything that the best he could do was just, he just kept messing everything up instead of just running to the Lord and saying, I messed up. So he knows a little bit about regret. Anyways, this is what he talks about, a little bit of the importance of God's forgiveness in our life. Psalm 51 and verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51 verse 7. Purge me with hyssop. Now that's important because hyssop's like a little branch. It is a tree. It's a bushy tree. It's a branch. And they would use it in ceremonies for cleansing. So you could dip it in blood and sprinkle blood. And so, a matter of fact, when the Israelites were the night of the Passover, they were ordered by God so the death angel would fly over their home and not mess with them, to take the branch and smear the blood of the lamb over their doorposts as a covering. That blood was a covering. And so David says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David says, I need your forgiveness, man. I need it. I can't live without it. I can't carry this burden anymore. Psalm 32, verse 3, talking a little bit about the pain that David went through. You ever felt the torment of unrepented sin in your life? You ever felt the torment of hanging on to something that you know you ain't got no business hanging on to? Psalm 32, verse 3, for when I kept silent, I didn't go to you with this, God. I just tried to handle it on my own, and I couldn't get anywhere, and I was just getting deeper and deeper. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. That don't sound pretty, does it? My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Psalm 32 talks about the torment of unconfessed sin, and Psalm 51 talks about his sin with Bathsheba when the prophet Nathan says, hey, David, you need to repent of this, or he brings it to his attention. Read those up in your own time. But we see the importance of repenting. We see the importance of letting God wash our sins away. He talks about blotting our sin out. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Let's go to the next slide. I think this is our last slide. I know some people have already snuck to the back to get the primo, top of the line, top shelf Debbie cakes. That's all right. I done got pick of the litter last night. One for the church people, one for me. One for me. Okay, anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. All God's people say, one for the church people. Acts 3 and verse 19, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Verse 20, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. See, these things, holding on to the sin that we all do, it keeps us from being in God's presence like he wants. And he says, let's remove this barrier, and we get to hang out. And what happens when we hang out with the Lord? Man, we get refreshed. We get refreshed. Okay, it's like, well, David said this, return to me the joy of my salvation. It's paraphrased. I'm sure I didn't quote that exactly right, but he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. At times of refreshing, he's talking about being refreshed, being energized, being renewed, being restored, like when he first decided that I am going to be a disciple of the Most High God. I'm going to be a servant of the Lord. Do you remember that feeling? Do you remember that when you made that commitment to Christ? Because he came to you, he sought you out, and there you were crippled. And he said, do you want to be made well? He said, I need to be made well. And you asked him to be your Lord and Savior. And then there was a joy. There was this weight that was lifted off of you. You know, like, well, that was so long ago, I don't really remember. David said, restore unto me. Let me feel that again, man. Let me feel like it, like that. So I never felt that. Okay? I'm not saying you weren't saved if you didn't feel that. Okay? You ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he's going to take you up on that. It doesn't matter if you see fireworks fall over backwards, can't get up off the ground for 8 days, or you don't feel anything. God keeps his word. Can I get a witness? Okay. But he says, you can be well. You can be refreshed. You know? Exodus 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15 and 26. This is God talking to the Israelite people, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you. Anybody got any outstanding warrants? No, don't answer that. Don't answer that. I'm a mandated reporter. I'm supposed to turn you guys in. Not really. I mean, whatever. Everybody just calm down. No, half the church started hiding stuff underneath the other person's chair. I'm playing. Exodus 15, 26, saying, if, Lord forgive me. Exodus 15, 26, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. This is what I really want to focus on right here. Check this out. For I am the Lord your healer. For I am the Lord your healer. Thank you, Jesus. So there's all these different names for our God. One of the names that he goes by is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Look at your neighbor and say, Jehovah Rapha. That means the Lord who heals. So when I turn to him, he wants to refresh me. And he can do that. He can restore my weary soul, man. He can give me strength and peace like I've never known before. But I've got to want it, and I've got to run to him, because I can't do it on my own, and I can't halfway do it. Okay? I can't do it like the world does it. But if I say, I repent of my sin, I don't know how to get out of this, I repent of it, Lord, and I'm turning towards you. Okay? He will meet me right there, and he will refresh me and encourage me and give me joy like never before. And he'll take all this rubbish from our life that we've built up and he'll throw it away like it never happened. Amen. The Lord who heals, the Lord who cures, the Lord who restores, that is our God. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll be free indeed. You will really be free. Not like, oh, I talked to this counselor and we're making a little progress here. Not knocking any of that stuff. Lord knows a lot of us need some counseling around here. No, I'm playing, but I'm not knocking counseling or 12-step programs, none of that, man. I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm saying when I run to God, that is going to yield amazing results. That's where I get free, man. That's where I get that time of refreshing. Can I get a witness? He wants to restore my weary soul, and only He can do that. He can restore to me the joy of my salvation. It can be just like it's my first day with Him all over again. Amen. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So we got to pray. If you want this, you have to pray with me and you have to mean it. Okay? And don't give up. Don't give up, because Satan always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He always comes to steal your blessing. He always comes to steal what God has just given to you. I remember the day I got saved when I accepted Christ up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Yep, way up there. I had to go that far just, no, I'm playing. My dad was preaching. Anyways, I won't bore you with that. But I was up there, and I accepted Christ, and man, I was refreshed. I was excited. I couldn't wait to tell a couple people, you know. And this was in the mid-90s. And I remember on the drive from this one town to another town, right after the church service, Satan automatically began to whisper to me, "Are you sure you want to do this? Because I know you like doing this. How are you going to do this? What are the cool kids going to think about you? All these doubts and everything. You ain't really going to be able to stop doing that." Yeah, but as soon as I was blessed, within the hour, Satan began to attack me, you know? And man, he's relentless. But let God be true. Listen to me. Listen to me. Let God be true. And everybody else can be a big fat liar, man. Father God, Father God, I repent of my sins. Thank you for your strength to help me put down, stop what is not pleasing to you. Thank you for giving me the desire to see my sin as repulsive as you see it, and to begin to understand how much love you have for me and how much value you have placed in me. Thank you, Father God, for washing all my sins away and refreshing my weary soul. Give me the joy, Lord, that you want me to have, that you paid for me to have. Thank you. Each day, I will pick up my cross, deny myself, and follow you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.